Oh, we've been going.
Oh, I've learned finally that I can't just...
You've learned your lessons.
For the most part. I feel like I'm learning something new every day, though. Especially here.
What are you learning new right now?
Well, we have some visitors here in the studio today, and I've learned some new, like, classroom management styles.
Oh, yeah. So you got a little seminar.
I did.
An itty-bitty seminar.
Yes. It was good.
You'll have to pass it on to me since I will be doing the itty-bitties by myself this summer.
That's true. So you'll be learning about that. What's something new that you've been learning?
Some mural stuff.
Like the process.
Yeah. So I've been learning how to price your work for murals, mural contracts, that kind of thing.
All right.
So, I mean, it sounds like we've started a podcast.
Yes.
Let's make it official.
Okay. I don't know what episode we're
72.
On. Okay, thank you.
Don't worry, I got you. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 72, we're going to be talking with the teens.
We are.
You will be.
Yes. You didn't introduce yourself as Big Madison.
Oh, yes. That will be necessary for the upcoming episode because one of our teens is named Madison. Uh-huh. I am Big Madison. She is Little Madison.
Whenever I talk about y'all, though, I do not ever call you LM and BM.
Oh, because
gross.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't want to be BM.
No. Even though having regular BMs is quite healthy and makes for a happy life. Oh, so
they are important.
When
not what I want to go by.
You, BM, are regularly in my life. It's happy and healthy.
Oh, I should have showed you this the other day. You know how we were doing our carrot and turnip bit a while back?
Oh, gosh.
And we were like, no, we don't want to do that anymore. I found a pair of pajamas with carrots and turnips and lemons on them.
Oh, man. And lemons.
Oh, they also had cherries and peas. Oh.
You know how I feel about mixing fruit and vegetables on stuff together.
On media. I know. I thought, these are Joe's worst nightmare. Yeah. I'll have to show you a picture later.
We have some fabric like that.
I love it.
You do love it. And I guess fruits and veggies, we say it, you know, they are a category.
They go together, kind of.
Yeah, it just... I don't know. It feels weird. It feels like wearing a black belt and brown shoes.
Hey, there are very few rules in fashion.
I know
these
now
days.
It's okay, but before, oh my word.
Mixing your metals, wearing gold and silver jewelry at the same time.
The horror. Okay, well, we in rare form. I edited the podcast already. Madison has listened to it. It's the first time we've done it this way, I think.
Yes.
So the teens,
they have so much wisdom to impart, and you can almost hear the growth happening in the process of the podcast.
I was really proud of them. Well, they've wanted to be on. I didn't have to like twist their arm to make them do it, but we tackled a big subject. So, oh, we haven't said we, talk about figuring out who you are. So, they're kind of right at that age, and once you're at it, you're always at it. So, anyway, I think some of them drop some truth bombs.
Yes. And it's just, they say it so casually, they don't even know that they're speaking such truth.
And there's three of them, and they all are very different. And so I think everyone will be able to maybe hear yourself in one of them, if not all of them at some parts. So
I've definitely been at each of their places throughout my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes I go back and forth between them. I'm like, oh yeah, I was in that stage. Now I feel like I'm here, like this person's saying.
Mm-hmm. So it was a real delight, and I think that you will enjoy, well, I hope that you will enjoy it. We tried to minimize the extra sounds.
They are new podcasters. Mm-hmm. So...
And it's it's hard enough for you and I to have a conversation. It's taken us a while to get our flow. So then with three of them, learning not to interrupt each other or not talk on too long or whatever, there was a lot for them to have to be thinking about. But we edited. I edited it out about 20 minutes for you. So it's hopefully nice and tight and you'll get good information from them.
Yeah.
Were there any big take? Well, do we want to come back? Let the people listen and then we'll come back with some takeaways.
Let's do that.
Okay. Everyone who's listening, I'm so glad that you're here. But more importantly, I'm glad that all of these people sitting in front of me are here because they are my favorite part of my week. It is my teen class. If you listened last week, I teased that they were going to be on this week. And so mostly I'm just grateful that y'all said yes and that you didn't say no because it could be kind of scary. But, I mean, it's fun to talk in a microphone. So we're going to go around so everyone can introduce yourself and people can kind of get used to what your voice sounds like. And so we'll start with you.
Hello, I'm the new Madison. I'm the replacement.
The replacement Madison.
The old Madison broke. I'm here for this week because she broke. But yeah, I'm Madison 2.0.
And how old are you?
I'm 14. I'm going to be 15 in like a month.
And you are a freshman?
Yeah.
Finishing your freshman year.
Yeah, I'm going into sophomore next year.
Okay, so that's Madison. You go.
Hi.
Your name
so
is.
Weird. Okay. I'm Clara. I am 14.
Pull the microphone like towards your face. There you go.
You're 40?
I'm 14.
Ooh, that's better.
I am 14, not 40. And I am in eighth grade.
Eighth grade. And tell us your name again.
Clara.
Clara.
Hi, I'm Gracie Hoggard. I'm in eighth grade at Harding Academy, and how old am I? I'm 14.
14.
I'm 14.
Okay. So there is a Dr. Seuss quote that you may have heard before. It says, "Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you." That sounds like cute and rhymey and encouraging. But when I read it again, I thought, wait a minute, but what if I don't know who I am? Like, what if I don't know what it means to be me?
Yeah, how can you be you if you don't know who you is?
Yes, exactly. Let's start here. On a scale of 1 to 10, can you tell me, do you feel like you know who you are?
I don't like scaling things on 1 to 10.
Okay, well, you can scale however you want.
Thank you. I think I have a pretty good grasp of who I am. I think this year I've gotten better at not being swayed by other people's opinions.
Okay.
And I think that's a good sign of knowing who I am. I think I still have a long way to go, but I think, yeah.
Okay. So on a generic scale of not 1 to 10, you are pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Clara?
I'm going to be difficult.
Okay.
7.35.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Because I think I'm special. Because I know who I am, and I know that
and
I'm special.
And you know that you're special.
Yeah, I feel like I know pretty well, but also I'm 14, and my brain is not fully developed, and there's still stuff I haven't learned about myself.
Right. Okay, Madison?
I'm going to say I'm a 5 out of 10 right now, because, yeah, entering the first year of high school, I know who I am now mostly. Well, even then, I've just now discovered some things like, you know, that I told you guys last week. I got diagnosed with, like, Tourette's. So even now, I'm still learning new things about me. So even if you think you know yourself at the current moment, there are some things that you don't, or that you don't think you don't know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And even then, entering in high school, it's scary because they're pushing you towards the path of where you're going to be. So you're like, I'm confident in who I am now, but I don't know, like, who I'll be in those amount of years.
Right. Okay. You just mentioned getting diagnosed with Tourette's. Are you okay to talk about that for a little bit? Here's my question. Does having a label, any label, are those things helpful in figuring out who you are? Or do you think that they kind of get in the way?
I think they can be helpful and frustrating.
Okay.
Because I think it helps you to be, like, it can affirm you in knowing who you are, but also it can feel like you're being put in a box a little bit.
Right.
And you don't have room to grow, even though you do. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say, Madison?
It really depends on the type. I feel like whenever it comes to, like, diagnosis, like, for a long time, I knew something was you know, quote on or in quotation marks, off with me physically, at least. Mm-hmm. I was always, you know, really jumpy. I'd always move suddenly and stuff like that. I'd always repeat certain words over and over and over again. And for a while, I was like, why do I do this? Because it's just an uncertainty in life that nobody wants. So I feel like getting, like, a diagnosis and, like, a label is useful, even though I wasn't expecting to get a label. I thought I was just, like, a weird kid after a while. And that leads into social labels, which is, whenever I was younger, I was labeled a weird kid. So being labeled, you know, something can either drag you down or lift you up.
Yeah.
Like, in this case... Oh, sorry.
No, when you're done.
In this case, like, weird kid drags you down and makes other people want to avoid you because everybody knows you as the weird kid.
Uh-huh.
And then later on along the lines, I was labeled, you know, the smart kid. Not necessarily smartest in class, but the smart kid, which you think that's going to be, like, you know, lifting it up. It lifts you up at the beginning, but then you build, like, this standard that you feel like you have to live up to because you have to, like, you're going to lose your title if you don't live up to it.
Yeah.
And people become more reliant on you for, like, you know, whatever it is that they need help with.
Yeah.
Well, and then when you aren't able to hit that standard, then are you still you?
Mm. Exactly, yeah.
Clara, what were you going to say?
I was going to say labels can be great because it, like, helps you. But if people don't understand how those labels are fluid, mm-hmm. that can be where the problem for me, I feel like, starts. Like, I may have been a nerd in first grade, like, not offensively, but, like, a nerd in first grade, but now I am struggling in math. Like, that thing changes, like, as you get older and as you change and adjust, like, the label you might need or have will change with you.
Right. So I guess the labels, sometimes they serve a purpose then to give you maybe a reason for why you always thought you were the weird kid, but maybe now there's a reason for that. Or they can be limiting. That's what mm-hmm. I hear y'all saying. Okay. Any more thoughts on labels?
There's two different types of labels, which is, like, I call one social, which is, like, other people give you, and, mm-hmm. like, I guess factual. Social labels can change depending on how people view you over time or how mm-hmm. you develop. And I was going to say, well, factual can't. There are some that can change, like, a lot of people, well, in quotation marks, can grow out of some disorders.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we use labels when we're trying to decide who someone else is as well, because we want to put them in a box so that we can understand them and then decide how we're going to be around them.
That's what I read a book about, a girl who classified everyone as a different drink. Okay. Like, some people were water and milk and Pepsi and Coke and, like, whatever. And I feel like I do that with people. I'm like, oh, like, they remind me of this.
Yeah.
But my favorite was probably the milk.
Milk. I wouldn't want to be classified as milk.
Well, she said warm milk with cinnamon. And I was like, oh, that sounds like such a nice person.
That sounds comforting.
Yeah.
Okay. What makes you feel like you?
I excel in school and academics. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, our teacher will say, do you remember what I told you at the beginning of the year about writing essays? And I raise my hand and quote him word for word, and everybody around me is like, why are you like that? And I'm like, I don't know, but I don't care.
So it doesn't ever make you feel bothered?
No, it doesn't faze me, because I know it's something that I'm good at, and I feel yeah. secure in the fact that, like, this is who I am, and I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Clara?
I feel like the specific little things I do, like the way I say finale, you know, all the different little everyone does, like, make them, like, that person.
Yeah.
How you shudder if anything ever happens.
I'm a jumpy person. Okay.
So is other Madison. She's quite jumpy.
Yeah, but I have a reason.
Oh, are you jumpy too? Oh, I meant Big Madison. If I'm walking into a room, I have to announce that I'm coming so that I don't scare her.
Madison, I am entering the room.
Okay. You, Madison, what makes you feel like you?
That's kind of a hard question for me.
It is a hard question.
There's things that, like, I do that makes me feel like a sense of affirmation, or, like, facts about myself that I know, or, like, little habits that I notice that I do. Like, repeating certain phrases, or, like, was I going to say? I don't know. But then there's also little things that my friends do, or, like, my friends perceive, not necessarily do, that they'll point out about me, and I'm like, yeah, that's me to the outside world. So mm-hmm. for me, my identity feels like it's a mixture of, like, the little things I notice about myself and the little things my friends notice about myself. There's little things that, like, you and your friends notice about you that really makes you feel like your own person.
Mm-hmm. Being at Make Do makes me feel like me. I feel the most comfortable when I'm here. And I think because it is like an outward expression of me. Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's something that you can see and is concrete. And a lot of times inside of my own brain, it's not. Like everything is kind of abstract and changes. And so I can get, when other people are involved, I can a lot of times feel a little bit lost. And so having something like Make Do helps me feel grounded in who I am.
I talk to my dad because he's really good at affirming me in, like, what I am. And so he, like, shows me how I always am, and it helps me. I don't even know. But I also find an outlet where I can be unapologetically me. So, like, for mine, it's Make Do.
Okay.
Like, I don't have to have excuses for being bold or sarcastic or, you know, being myself. I can let myself be me here.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's how I want you to feel. Clara, what do you know for certain about yourself?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Because we change.
Yeah, but that's interesting that you don't know a lot about yourself, but earlier you said you were 7.6, mm-hmm. you know, some random 3, number.
5.
Yeah, sure of who you were. So is it, what that makes me, you're not saying this, but the question that makes me think is it important to be certain about anything?
No. What I am certain about is that I am a growing and changing human being.
Yeah.
So my identity is going to change.
I love that.
Who I am and who I think I am and who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a year ago, if you'd asked me who I wanted to be, I would probably said the smartest person.
Yeah.
And now that's not the most important thing in my life to me. I'd rather be, like, the people that people... I want to be the person that people want to hang with.
Right.
Like, your... things that are important to you change, so your identity changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Madison?
I have, like, a problem where, like, my identity sometimes feels like it hinges on how other people perceive me, or not necessarily my identity, but my confidence feel like how depends on how other people perceive me.
Well, let's talk about that then. Let's go ahead and talk about the role that other people play in who you are. You already said some really good things about your friends. You know, your good friends kind of help inform you of the things that make you you and unique. So that's a really positive. I think a lot of times we think it's only negative the way that people would maybe impact us, but that's a really positive way. Mm-hmm. And Gracie, you were talking about your dad.
Yeah, my dad, anytime I'm, you know, feeling upset, he reminds me of the stuff he values in me and my, you know, my family values in me. And
sometimes other people are actually seeing a truer version of you than you are, because you're, like, in the middle of your own drama, right?
Yeah. I feel like also, like, as people, we desire to be loved and accepted by other people, mm-hmm. especially ones we care about. So we change for them, and sometimes it's in a good way. Sometimes it helps us grow,
mm-hmm.
And, like, be who we really are. We just didn't know that's who we needed to be.
Yeah. Or it's like when you're, if I hate to run, but if let's say you're in like a track meet and you're running next to someone who's a little faster than you, they're going to make you mm-hmm. better, right? Yeah. So we know that there's good ways that people can influence us. Do you see, I feel like your age is kind of maybe right at the beginning of when this starts to happen, but do you see the negative impact of other people?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I have some friends that are very dependent on what other people say about them, and it kind of hurts me to see them that way, because, like,
what about you? Like, do what other people think about you, does that have any impact on you?
I think it does sometimes, mm-hmm. but like my outfits, I don't care what anybody thinks about my outfits. I might change my attitude sometimes. I don't change who I am as a person, but I change my attitude depending on who I'm around. Like if I'm with my friends, I don't care. But if I'm with other people that I value their opinion of, but I know will judge me, then I shift.
Mm. Clara, do other people, do you catch yourself being negatively impacted by other people?
Yes. I had an answer. Wait, can you come back to me?
Uh-huh. Madison?
I find myself being positively and negatively impacted by other people. So after spending a few years, you know, being labeled the weird kid, I started avoiding other people because they didn't really like me that much, mm-hmm. or at least I thought so. Whenever you don't have that label anymore, you're still impacted because it leaves a lasting impression. For example, I am constantly terrified if anybody is, like, looking at me and what I see is, like, a semi-negative way. Mm-hmm. I get immediately scared and I think they hate me. You know, people around you could also have positive influences on you. A very antisocial person. I don't like talking to people that aren't my two friends. Well, two and a half.
Well, and us. Are you counting us?
Oh.
Add three more to that. Five and a half.
What about Big Madison?
And Big Madison. Six and a half. Six and a half people now.
Yeah. But, if it's anybody except for you guys, I'm just very quiet. I ignore everybody. I have my headphones in constantly, and I avoid people like the plague. But then I found people that are as weird as me. Yeah, I'm calling you all weird. Get over it.
But I don't mind. Fine. We accept it. I like that you take your headphones out and make do now.
Around you guys, I become confident in who I am, and you know, I found people that are just as weird as me, so being labeled the weird kid no longer affects me because everybody's weird here.
Yeah.
That's just the norm now.
I was going to ask you, and then I'll come back to you, Clara. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, what is it about make do or your other two and a half friends that you have at school that makes you feel comfortable?
It's a mixture of a few different things. Let me think.
You think about that, and we'll go back to Clara. We were talking about the role other people play, right?
Yes. Well, like, people always tell you, don't care what other people think. Don't care what other people think. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's kind of silly. Of course we care what other people think. I mean, if I didn't care what other people think, I would be holed up in my bedroom watching Netflix right now. But I do. I care about other people. So I care what they think.
Yeah. Why do you think people say to not care about what other people think?
I think they're trying to say, be your authentic self.
Uh-huh.
But it also can be negative. Like, someone was asking me weird questions about that they felt defined me. And that I know that's not who I am. So I can choose not to listen to that.
Right.
But you can't just not care at all.
Right. Maybe it's being selective in whose opinion you choose to listen to and whose opinion you care
especially
about.
Especially, like, people who don't know you can't tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Especially, I had a guy talking about my virginity. And
oh,
like,
no.
That,
ew.
He was asking, like, weird questions about it, and that's not who I am. So, it doesn't, I mean, it was weird, but it doesn't bother me, and I know it doesn't define me.
Right.
Clara mentioned an interesting point, which was people telling you to not care what other people think. While that is true, I feel like there should be a balance between that, because a lot of people in this world have really bad habits, especially in our generation. You have those people that say things that are wildly inappropriate, like that one guy.
Yes.
Yeah. And so those are people that truly do not care what other people think because they want to do what they want to, but they don't realize how hurtful or impactful that would be. And I feel like well, this is bad to base your entire, like, personality or your view on yourself on having other people's, like, you know, knowing other people's, you know, view on you. While you shouldn't care what people you don't respect think of you, you want people who you care about to look at you in a good light. Yeah. And so I'm not saying, like, do whatever you can to be, you know, good to these people, but, like I said, I know my identity partially because of the little habits my friends point out about me, such as the mispronouncing things on purpose.
I don't care what other people think.
Not at all?
I mean, I do a healthy amount, but I don't base anything on what they say about me because, like, a lot of people don't like me, and that's fine.
How do you know that?
I hear it from other people.
Okay.
And by the way they act towards me.
Okay.
And it doesn't bother me. I try not to let it bother me. And, like, people call me Karen all the time. And I couldn't care less because, I mean, they're right. And I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Well, a lot of the aspects of a Karen that are undesirable are that, like, a Karen doesn't care about other people. And yeah. You do care about other people. So you're able to, like, leave the bad parts of that label and then take on the parts that you...
She's a Karen.
Yeah, no, you're
that
a
was
Karen.
That was an awful pun.
You're a Karen. Listen.
My great-grandma's name is Karen, and she is one of the sweetest people I know.
Hey, my friend Junie's grandma's name is Karen, and she's really sweet. And
she has a real name.
Really rich.
She has a real
name. Her name is Karen. Her name is not Gigi. Her name is Karen.
You mean all grandma's names aren't grandma?
All grandmas have
this is like a
real names.
This is her like name a four-year-old being
her name
like,
is Karen.
Wait. This is like a four-year-old calling their parents their actual names because they think it's funny and they didn't think their parents had one.
What is the biggest challenge, do you think, when it comes to figuring out who you are? Maybe the biggest challenge is a hard way to say that. It can be a couple of things. Yes, Gracie.
Thinking you won't be accepted as yourself.
But you just said you don't care what people
think. I know. I think, like, depending on the setting... I'm not going to be as bold as I usually would.
Okay. So you will maybe be part of yourself, but not your whole self.
Yes.
Or you're, like, toning parts of you down. Okay.
And I also think that, like, assuming that you'll be judged for who you are can make it hard to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't think that people are going to like who your authentic self is, then you assume you need to change.
Okay. Clara?
I said the little voice in your head that, like, tells you that kind of, like, people are going to judge you, what Gracie said. Because, like, especially when you're doing something new. Like, this year I started a new school with completely different people. So there are definitely things I changed about myself because I knew I was going to be in a different setting. And I don't know if I would want to impress them. I wanted their view of me to be good.
Yeah. Were there things about yourself that you already wanted to change and then you saw this new school as a good opportunity to do it?
Yes.
Okay.
And I, like, I don't know, I kind of have this idea of the perfect aesthetic. Like, not like cottagecore,
like an aesthetic
e-girl.
Of a personality?
Yes. Okay. Like, the personality I want to have were, like, the little things that I do that, you know, like, people who play guitar are so aesthetic, you know, or, like, skate. And, like, there's all these things that I do just for the purpose of being aesthetic.
Well, I don't know if you do this for aesthetic, but do you know what one of my favorite things is when you bake?
Yeah, that is. You know, I just want to have that perfect little aesthetic. But also, stereotypes are really a big obstacle.
Yeah, they are.
Because I, especially for women, I saw this, like, if a girl likes games, she's a gamer girl. If a girl likes Starbucks, she's a basic white girl. And, like, while those can be funny to joke around with... Oh, sorry.
It was just... Or, like, saying that girls can't like certain things
yes.
and stuff like that. It's... Stereotypes are really complicated. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but, like, you can't like anything. A woman can't like anything without being put into this stereotype box. And, like, while those can be funny to, like, joke around ha-ha with your friends, but, like, when people actually kind of do that, like... give you that stereotype, it can be really hurtful.
Especially because you can be so many more things than just
yes,
that.
Yes, I'm, like, I just joined the robotics team. I don't want to be the robotics girl. That's not all of me.
When I was younger, that's one of the reasons I tried to excel in school. Because one, like, I was either going to, well, no. My only option was to be the dumb blonde.
Mm.
And I was like, no. And so I worked at school, and I found I really enjoy it. And so now I don't care that, I mean, now, of course, the only other stereotype I could fall into is Karen, and woohoo, that's what happened. But I, like, that's why I started to excel in school, because I was worried that people were going to see me as a dumb blonde.
Oh. And then there's, like, oh, I hate this. You have, like, the stereotypes based off of looks or, like, one interest. But then you also have those based off of, like, one fact that you can't change about yourself. Like, like with gender, dudes are supposed to be, you know, these big, tough guys. They're not supposed to show emotion. And then girls, like, are supposed to be overly dramatic. And I feel like we're breaking down stereotypes, but we're also ignoring others because we feel like, because subconsciously everybody feels like a certain stereotype is true. For example, like, dudes, they don't always have to be strong. They don't always have to be emotionless. And we're breaking those down. But another one that's, like, been on my mind lately, because it's been affecting me personally lately, is that girls are overdramatic. All their emotions are overly emotional.
It's not true.
A problem I've run into is that people will look at me whenever I'm emotional and be like, oh, girl, her emotions aren't valid because she's being overdramatic. Because I don't think people realize that, while, yes, it's terrible that dudes are getting, our emotions are getting invalidated, we are also having our emotions invalidated by people saying, oh, you're taking this out of proportion, so therefore your emotions don't matter.
Right. Or people just use the stereotype as a way to not have to listen to you.
Yeah, and people just use stereotypes, I feel like, because they don't want to have to think too hard. They want, like, a status quo. They don't want to have to look in depth about something. They'll just look at someone and be like, oh, you're this. But at the same time, oh, sorry. You can go. But at the same time, it's like, while it's bad to have stereotypes, we also shouldn't bash on people who are that stereotype. Because, you know, stereotypes exist for a reason. And while some of them are based off, like, this effect called selfing and othering, where you try to make the other person look as bad as possible so you look good in comparison, some stereotypes, you know, there are people who are that stereotype, you know, like the girl who drinks Starbucks and so therefore is a basic white girl. She's enjoying what she likes, even if you see it as basic, so you shouldn't bash on her for being a stereotype.
Right, just because it's a stereotype doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, like, it exists for a reason, so, like, people exist, but you shouldn't group everybody into it, but even if somebody fits that stereotype, don't bash on them because they're enjoying what they like.
Right.
It might seem basic to you.
There's someone, a podcast I listen to, and they say, don't romp on someone's ding-dong.
What?
That's really yeehaw.
Explain that, please.
Don't romp on someone's ding-dong. Like, the thing that they like, just because you don't like it or because you think it's, you know, basic or chuggy or whatever, doesn't mean that, like, you should bash them for it. Just let them like what they like.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw this British dating show once, and it was, they get all the contestants. It's one guy and a bunch of girls.
Sure wasn't the Bachelor? Yeah.
No, it's different.
It's different because it's British.
Because it's British. It's called the British Bachelor.
Well, the thing is, all the women are exactly the same. They all have, like, very, very similar faces.
Okay.
They look like, there's, like, what, 12 of them? 12 tuplets?
12 tuplets.
Don't, okay, whatever. Potato, potato. So they all look the same, and you, like, actually have to pay attention to their personality, and everyone in the comments is like, oh, wait, they weren't doing that, like, the whole time, like, you were just, oh, you're pretty, I like you, like, you actually do have to pay attention to someone to know who they are.
That's the appeal of uniforms at school, because just, if you can't decide, like, hey, you're the weird girl because of your clothing, you have to actually get to know the person.
I love how, like, you just stared at me whenever.
Well, no, wow. You brought it up earlier, and so I sorry.
I just want to wear a uniform because they look cool.
Honestly, yeah, it's an aesthetic. I think you need to look into that. Yeah, but anyway, I'm sorry, Gracie. I know you're. I'm kidding. I called you weird too. Don't worry.
I know.
I'm the cool one.
I took it as a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Okay. Gracie said something earlier about assuming that people will judge you. Mm-hmm. That's an obstacle. I think sometimes we worry that people are going to judge us because we know how much we judge people.
Yes.
That's true.
I think that's a hard obstacle for me to overcome because I do judge people a lot. It's one of my big character flaws. It's what I'm working on right now.
Well, here's my question before you...
Okay.
Because you may answer it. But does what you think about other people change how you see yourself?
Yes.
So do you have an example of that?
Like, if I think that... Like, I can look at somebody and be like, it's weird when you do that. And then I'll catch myself doing something that I would perceive other people doing as weird. And then I hear somebody behind me snickering. I'm like, they're laughing at me. Oh, my gosh. Even though I know that's not what they're doing. Like, they're laughing at because they're junior high boys and they laugh at everything.
The imaginary audience.
Yes. And so I, like, because I would perceive something that I'm doing on somebody else as weird, I assume that everyone else is going to... think that I'm weird for doing it.
Yeah. Anybody else have an example?
I feel like I judge people, like, in good ways. Not to, like, toot my own horn or anything.
Well, give us an example.
But I'll be like, oh my gosh, their hair is so cool. Or, like, the way they did that was really cool. And then I'll catch myself doing that, and I'm like, oh, I'm really cool too. Like, kind of to hype myself up. But, like, you know, they'll, like, you'll see someone do something or say something, and then you'll be like, wow, that was really cool. And then you do it. And then you're really cool.
See, I think some people see it and think, oh, I could never do that. Mm-hmm. And so it almost has the opposite effect on them.
Yeah. Well, not a huge fan of the word, like, never really. I don't like to put myself in a box of not being able to do something.
Because I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, we're running short on time because I know Gracie has to go. Is there one tip that you have for people on... If you're trying to figure out who you are and you're stuck, here's something to do.
Mine would be the Enneagram because you can, like, I was researching it all over the entire summer. So I'm a 1-wing 9, and it helps me categorize. I'm an Enneagram, so of course I categorize. it helps me categorize, like, I do this and this and this, and that's okay, but also I can improve this and this and this.
Yeah. I second it that it has been a very helpful tool in helping me learn who I am and be okay with who I am. Okay, Claire, do you have a suggestion or a tip?
I'd say notice the little things and be proud of them.
Like, about yourself?
Yes. Okay. If you, like, I do this, I haven't seen other people do that. They probably do. Like, you're not the only one who does certain things. But if you notice that about yourself and you're like, wow, I'm really cool for doing that. Those things add up on each other, and you have this, like, group of things that kind of make you, all the little bricks in a building that add up. And if you just notice over time and, like, I hold my phone this way or I, you know.
You call it your mobile phone.
I call my phone my cell phone or my mobile phone.
This is my cellular.
Yeah, my cellular phone. But that's something little I do, and I think it's kind of cool that I do that. Okay. That's just how I am.
I love that. Madison, do you have a tip?
Ask your friends or family or pay more attention to yourself to see. You've been a lot of... but see what things that, like, you notice about yourself that makes you, what you feel like, unique, like what Clara said. I was going to say something else, but I forgot.
I have something, and then if you remember, we can come back to you. So Clara said earlier that you have to pay attention to someone to know who they are. And I think that is just as true about ourselves. You have to be paying attention to yourself to know who you are. And so Clara gave a really concrete way to do that, like pay attention to the little things and maybe write those things down. But I think it also means paying attention to where you feel the most like yourself, the kind of how we started out about with this conversation, and taking time to... like, truly decide for yourself what you think about things. Because it's so easy for us to, like, be influenced by other people around us. Yes. Did you remember?
I do. Mm-hmm. One thing that could make you feel more like you is find out the kind of person that you want to be. Like, look at your negative aspects. Like, for example, with me, I have severe anxiety and stuff like that to the point where I have panic attacks on, you know, a semi-regular basis. And so I would want someone who doesn't know who they are to look at the bad qualities of themselves and work towards who you want to be. Because if you have, like, this idea of, like, not necessarily change yourself completely, but look at something that, like, you want to be.
Like aspirational, kind of, yeah, something like, to work toward.
Like, if you have a negative quality and you have, like, an idea of how you want, not necessarily get rid of it, but how to handle it, mm-hmm. work towards that. And whenever you get there, since you already know exactly what you wanted, you now know that that's who you are because you've worked towards that specific thing. That's who you are now.
And I think what creativity helps me see as well is that something is beautiful because of all the parts of it. So even, like, maybe in a quilt, the colors that you don't like as much, they still add to the mm-hmm. whole mm-hmm. value and overall picture of the quilt. And that just came to my mind when you were talking about that. Okay, so we have seriously like 3 minutes, so you're going to have to do this all quickly.
Right. My sweet and sour.
Okay. Well, let's tell the people what we're doing. Because someone might be listening for the first time and they don't know. Every week we do a sweet and sour. So your sweet is the good thing for the week. Do you have a sweet?
Mine are both the same thing.
Your sweet and your sour are both the same? Oh, well, then y'all can have extra time because Gracie won't take up very much.
Haha.
That's a first.
I know, honestly. My sweet is that school is over, and my sour is that school is over.
It is a bittersweet feeling.
No, it's not.
No one else.
Well, I am glad it's summer, but I also enjoy school, and I like seeing my friends at school.
Yeah. But the sweet part is you can come to Make Do More.
I can. And just me and my friends are having a little party.
Fun.
Yep.
Clara, sweet?
My sweet is that school's ending. And I did really well on my research paper.
Good job.
I was not feeling great about it.
Do you have a sour? We can come back to you.
I don't know. Just stress about tests. And I'm not very good at maintaining relationships over the summer. Yeah. So that kind of stresses me.
Like out of sight, out of mind?
Yes. Like, especially people I like.
Yeah.
That's really hard for me. So what? That stresses me out.
Well.
3 likes. Really big.
Yeah.
Madison, do you have a sweet? A good thing?
I have multiple for both, but I'll limit myself.
Thank you.
Please.
Sweet. Last week of school. Let's go! Which also means that...
everyone's sweet, but it's the last year, the end of school.
Hey, it's pretty sweet.
But then there's also this weekend is me and my friend's annual end of the school year sleepover. It's my friend's week.
Mine's
to
on Thursday.
This movie. But then at the same time, my sour is that we still have work. My teachers are still giving me work this week, and it sucks.
Oh, yeah, that
another,
does suck.
Another sour is that, like, all of my friends are, like, planning all these fun things. And while I love my mom, like, another sweet is that I get to go to my mom's all weekend in Branson at the same, or not all weekend, but the majority of the summer. I get to go to Branson, which is, like, a huge place. It's a sour that I can't really hang out with my friends that much. Like, so I'm hearing all my friends plan all these fun things to do during the summer, and I'm just sitting here like, meh. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Too bad I can't go.
We miss you in the summer, too. That's a sour for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll tell you mine real quick. I have a suite that I think I'm going to get to paint a mural, like a big mural somewhere.
You talked about that last
So week. That is my suite, is that I'm getting to work on that. And
bye,
my
guys.
Sour. Bye. My sour is that bye. Clara has to leave now. I can't think of a sour. I will say I know that this is... it can be really hard to listen to yourself in the headphones mm-hmm. and to talk and to feel like you are having to come up with things to say. And so thank you guys very much for talking to me about this and being open and honest. And I love you, all of you.
We love you too, Joe.
I love Woo-hoo. You.
Okay, we're back.
How was it? What did y'all think?
They're precious.
They're a handful, but they're very, it's very much a good sample of what teenagers are like.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we got to hear from them.
Yeah. Okay. Any takeaways from you from what they said?
Yes. The how labels can be good and bad,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, we really like our labels until we don't, and how they can be positive and negative. It, just holding both of those at the same time can be tough, but mm-hmm. I was so glad that Madison was able to share that mm-hmm. with us.
And that even once you grow out of a label, it sticks with you.
Oh, yeah, that it has a lasting impact. Kind of like when you rip a label off of a bottle, there's still those yeah. little scraps left.
You got to get that lemon oil on it.
Oh, lemon oil works?
I mean, I've heard. I have never tried it.
Oh.
But I think it's supposed to.
What can't lemons do?
It works.
What about you?
Well, I should have written stuff down when we were editing. There was a lot of times that they would say something and I'd be like, whoa, that was really smart. And of course, now I'm not doing them justice to remember what it was. You know, I think one of the biggest things that stuck out to me was hearing them sometimes say the answer that they thought that they should say, or the answer that they knew was the right way to be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then talking through it a little bit more and kind of digging deeper and finding out how they really feel. And so on one hand, I'm really proud of them that they know those right answers and that is what they're saying to themselves. On the other hand, I hope that they believe those things.
And I hope they find the courage to be able to live that out, because yeah. it's so hard to truly just do what you want to do, what makes you happy, and not care about what other people think or care for their approval. Mm-hmm. But that's something I'm still struggling with.
Well, and you know, we didn't talk to them at all about social media.
That's true.
I didn't even occur to me to mention social media. So
maybe we'll have to have them back.
Yeah, I just was trying to have enough questions. And we also don't normally do interview style either,
mm-hmm.
but have enough questions to keep them talking. But social media didn't even occur to me. And I think that adds just a whole nother level for them.
Oh, yeah, because you're supposed to put on a persona for people to then consume on the internet.
Yeah. Whew. Okay, well, do you want to do sweet and sour? Do our own sweet and sour?
Well, I think, no, you let them pretty much do a sweet and sour.
And I did a sweet.
Okay.
So I said that getting to do a mural was my sweet, but I didn't yes. come up with a sour.
Gotcha.
So do you have one in mind?
Yes. So a sweet or a sour?
A sweet. Okay. Don't we usually start with sweet?
Yeah, we do. And we finish on that sour.
Should we switch that?
I mean, I've always thought we should, but I thought you liked being a little, you know, zingy at the end.
Let's leave everyone on a bad note.
Well, yeah. Here's my sour. I am still continuing to be, like, getting really poor sleep and just being tired. Like, I had this really weird dream last night about quilting, and I was really concerned that my quilt wasn't going to turn out right. And then I woke up and thought, what? I don't even quilt that much. Like, what is going on here?
I've been having weird dreams where, so I used to live in Ireland, and being in Ireland is a recurring dream for me. But now the new part is that my passport is expired, which my passport actually is expired,
mm-hmm.
but I'll already be either in Ireland or on the plane. And I'm like, my passport is expired. I know. So I don't know. That's my recurring dream lately.
Yeah.
So a quilting dream. Maybe that means you need to come take the quilting class tonight.
Apparently. Work out. I've got some stuff to work out, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
What's your sour?
My sour is, you know what? This is a recurring sour. I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. Not too busy. I have too many things in my brain that I'm trying to, like, balance and manage all at once, and then it overwhelms me, and so then I don't do anything, and then it just piles up.
Well, because you've been really obsessed with this whole mural thing.
A little.
You have reined yourself in, but it's also, that takes up so much brain space because mm-hmm. you're excited, and then there's other things. We're getting ready for summer. Mm-hmm. You know, you're about to teach a class. It's a lot.
Well, and I think this was my sour last week, but our website still isn't working.
Yeah, that is frustrating. We found a kind of a workaround, but it's more work.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll get fixed.
Okay, what's your sweet?
My sweet is that you have visitors here today.
Yes.
Because I mean, I always love it when new people come to the mm-hmm. studio, but what's lovely about these two people is they have so much experience with kids to impart to me. So I was like taking notes today mm-hmm. and I was feeling down when I came into the studio, and they've just brightened
you up. Yeah. It's my aunt and her bestie.
Yeah. They're cool.
Yes. My suite, I'll do another suite besides the one I said earlier, is I got my, was it just this week?
What?
On Monday, I got my IRS annual form submitted.
Yes, it's done.
Yes. And because I had to e-file it, I also know it was accepted. Mm-hmm. I think I talked on the podcast about getting a bill from the IRS for $3,000 for it being not receiving it last year, and they did. So this time, I know they have received it. It was so amazing to e-file it, and that feels real good.
The relief of that.
I can't believe that was Monday that happened.
I'm telling you, this week has felt really long. There's just been a lot going on.
No kidding.
Yeah. So.
And not our normal.
No, I guess we've been doing a lot, like,
well, because usually we spend a whole morning recording the podcast, and that didn't happen this week. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, another suite. Can I have another suite?
Absolutely. All the suites.
We have a quilting class tonight, and there are 7 people signed up.
Yes.
No, I'm excited.
Adult classes.
Yeah, so it'll be a full class. And summer's coming.
All the kiddos are going to be around here. I'm sending out more reminder emails of, hey, sign up. We've got these classes coming.
We've got a down week next week. And then, bam!
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
Oh, yeah. Next week, I'm going to be out.
No.
For a little. Or no, not next week. It's the week afterwards.
Yeah. As of the time we're recording.
Yes, exactly. So I'll be taking a little girls' trip.
Okay, so in the words of Dr. Seuss. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to say? No. I just started to cut you off. In the words of Dr. Seuss, no one is youer than you. That's what's true. Yeah, yeah. Be you. That's a paraphrase.
Oh, you know, I should have said this before, but one of my favorite Dr. Seuss quotes is, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind.
Oh, there you go.
Be you.
Be you.
Be beautiful.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.